Hello, welcome to the Sugar Mama Radio Show with your host, Mathia Ford. Every week, we talk about pregnancy, motherhood, and gestational diabetes topics and answer your questions about all of the above. Email us at radio@sugarmamaradio.com with your questions and go to sugarmamaradio.com to sign up and get a free gift, as well as notified when we have a new show. Now, what you've been waiting for, here's Mathia with the show.
Hey, this is Mathia Ford with Sugar Mama Radio, and today I want to talk to you about meal planning for gestational diabetes. This may be the one episode that you listen to. It may be, you know, one of the few. I know that meal planning can be a confusing and difficult thing, and I want to try to break it down for you in this episode. So this is going to be a little bit longer than the normal 8 to 10 minute ones I've been doing. This is Sugar Mama Radio, episode number 12, and after this, you'll get bi-weekly updates from our calls. You can go to gestationaldiabetesinfo.com/call and find out about our bi-weekly calls and when the next one's scheduled, and then future episodes in the podcast will be those calls with me talking about questions that I've either received via email or people are asking on the calls. So I would encourage you to participate, even if you just want to email me a question and I'll answer it on the podcast. And then you can check out my books on Amazon. I have several books on gestational diabetes. So if you go to gestationaldiabetesinfo.com/Mathia Ford, M-A-T-H-E-A-F-O-R-D, you will find the information about my books on Amazon, and you can, I have one on journal that has a journal in it. I have one on meal planning. I have grocery shopping, eating out, different topics. So I hope you'll find some of those useful. And, let's get into the meat of this episode now. So I'm going to talk about a couple different things. I want to start with talking about breakfast. Breakfast ideas for women with gestational diabetes. Depending on when you're diagnosed with gestational diabetes during your pregnancy, of course, usually it's between weeks 24 and 28, although if you've had it before, you may be diagnosed earlier, you're going to have many weeks of watching what to eat ahead of you. So between, you know, 10 and 15, 20 weeks that you may have to watch what you're eating first. And if you're going to find a meal that you like and works well with your blood sugars, you may be tempted to eat it again and again and again. And I would encourage that you try to find some meals that work. So you can, one of the hardest things for me is just trying to think, oh my gosh, what am I going to make different? So if you can do it for breakfast, just have the same breakfast over and over, and that doesn't bother you, then that's great. You're going to reach a point where you don't even want to think about a piece of toast with peanut butter again. And when you do, because remember, you should have some carbohydrate and protein at each meal. When you do, here are some ideas for diabetic-friendly breakfasts. One whole wheat toast with 1 tablespoon of natural peanut butter and a glass of milk. And a glass of milk is 8 ounces. Milk has both protein and carbohydrate in it. I would encourage you to drink the 1% or skim milk. Another thought is a bowl of cereal and milk with almonds sprinkled on top. So get yourself some slivered almonds. Get yourself a good cereal like Raisin Bran, which will help with moving things through your body. One egg cooked to your preference, a piece of toast and a glass of milk. You could have an omelet with some eggs and cheese and your choice of vegetables. You could have natural peanut butter spread on half a bagel, or if you like, use those bagel thins and toast that, and it's just about the same as a half a bagel. Those things can all be great breakfast meals for you. Go for quality foods, because as you can see, the meal sizes are kind of small because you're going to eat more often. By combining your breakfast foods with protein, you assist your body in processing the sugar. The added benefit of protein is to be is that it's satiating or satisfying longer for a longer period of time. If you fill up on carbohydrates, which is very easy to do at breakfast, me personally, I hate eggs. So I hardly ever eat meat at breakfast unless I have something like a piece of ham. Or I don't know if you consider bacon eggs, bacon as meat or not, but sometimes bacon. But protein is hard for me to come by at breakfast because I don't eat eggs. You may consider a piece of cheese, depending on if it's low-fat cheese as well in some of these situations. But if you're going to fill up on carbohydrates, you're going to be hungry sooner and have a higher blood sugar for your next reading. It's also commonly believed that you should avoid fruit juice and whole fruit at breakfast because it's so concentrated in glucose. And what I will tell you is that women, you know, remember I said earlier that testing your blood sugar often helps you to kind of understand your body and where your body's going and when you're more sensitive. It's thought, and you may find this true in your own body, it's thought that women's bodies are more sensitive to the sugar in the morning and less sensitive to the insulin. So your body is going to need a little time to kind of get into using that carbohydrate. So they recommend that you eat more complex carbohydrates like the cereal and the whole grain breads in the morning so that you won't have a big rush of glucose in your body. Your breakfast is going to set your tone for the day, so don't be cheating and, you know, eating donuts all the time. If you have a high sugar cereal for breakfast, your blood sugar may well be elevated for the rest of the day. Now, you obviously can do a walk after breakfast, and that will help. But after indulging, you're going to need to make up for it by reducing blood sugar or carbohydrates at future meals that day to kind of allow it to come down. You also may need to do some additional walking. So that's breakfast. Again, breakfast can be small and then have a mid-morning snack. You can have a piece of fruit at that time. You could have some carrots and ranch dip, or you could have some different vegetables. You could have some fruits that are cut up with a little bit of peanut butter, or a half a sandwich, that type of thing. Just something in the mid-morning. And then you get to lunch. And so lunch ideas, for me, the best idea is a sandwich. It can be one of the best meal choices that you have as a diabetic. It combines many of the food groups in one easy to prepare meal. I also like salads for breakfast. I mean, not breakfast, lunch. But choosing whole wheat bread over white bread and increasing the protein improves the nutritional value of the sandwich. You don't have to be pinned down to eating a sandwich every day at lunch for months on a time, unless, of course, you want to. But a good choice for sandwiches for diabetics include tuna fish. Now, you do have to kind of be cautious with the Listeria stuff. Egg salad, deli meat, and cheese. Listeriosis is a possibility, so you may want to be cautious about how much deli meat or which deli meats you eat. I would definitely recommend talking to your doctor if they don't want you to eat any deli meat. Consider just maybe doing cheese sandwich or canned chicken salad. The idea of adding vegetables is a good idea and recommended. Be careful with your condiments. To your sandwich, though, when you add vegetables, you're not adding a lot of carbohydrate, but you are increasing the amount of fiber in the meal, which is a good thing. The fiber will help you feel full longer and not have to feel so hungry in a couple hours. Check the labels to get an idea of any carbohydrate content. So when you're making something, read your labels. And as a guideline, mustard is better than mayonnaise, and whenever possible, go for the lighter version of your favorite spreads. I don't necessarily recommend fat-free because I feel like your body, if you give it fat, it will take that fat and be full longer. So eating fake food to me is out. I don't want to do that. I don't buy fat-free dressing. I don't buy fat-free mayonnaise. I would rather eat real food and have an additional piece of fruit, have a whole grain bread, and manage my blood sugars better by eating a little bit more protein, a little bit more vegetables, instead of eating fake food to get to have a little bit more fullness. If you're looking for ideas to go beyond a sandwich, which if your doctor says no deli meat or something, here's an idea. Using a tortilla wrap instead of bread. And something that you can do with that also is use a tortilla wrap, a whole bread, whole grain pita pocket. You can also use a lettuce slice. So a piece of lettuce, leaf lettuce, or like a piece of iceberg lettuce. You can take that. You can put your chicken salad in there. You can put your vegetables and your meat in there and roll it up like a, lettuce wrap at a restaurant and eat it that way. And what I would really recommend is to potentially get a bento box, and I'll put a link to bento boxes on Amazon in the website. But bento boxes allow you to do different portions. So what you could do is take your lettuce, take your chicken salad, and kind of keep everything there separate and then assemble it at the mealtime. And that makes it taste a little fresher and it makes it not get soggy. Another option instead of a sandwich is a variety of soups. So you can either have homemade or store-bought, and they can be very hearty and filling. You might eat it with some cheese slices or crackers for a filling meal. Have string cheese slice available to have, which has mostly protein, a little bit of carb. Try a pasta salad, whole grain pasta if you can find it, with chicken, ham, or cheese mixed in. So try some of that. Dice up chicken, a chef salad, or any other type of salad. With egg and a meat choice, be aware of how much sugar's in your salad dressing. Vinaigrette, balsamic vinegar, oil and vinegar are all better choices. But what you can do is put lettuce and then dice up chicken, put a little bit of cheese on there. If you'd like an egg, like I told you already, I don't like eggs, but eggs on there is good. A little bit of beans, black beans or canned beans that you rinse, and you could put that on there, and it makes a really good side on the salad. And then another option is your leftovers, your smaller portion of what you had for dinner the night before. So for example, last night for dinner, I had pizza. I had two pieces of pizza. And so for lunch today, I had one piece of pizza and I had a piece of fruit. So a smaller portion of what I had for dinner last night. The eating habits that you develop and the food choices you make when you have gestational diabetes are ones that you'd be very smart to continue with after the baby's born, to help you to lose the weight you want to lose, your baby weight, and also to help you keep on track to avoid getting type 2 diabetes. Eating like a diabetic is very healthy if you follow the rules and food guides for portion control sizes, watching how much you eat at a meal. You know, one slice of bread is one portion, trying to stick to that. A very good rule of thumb, if you know your portion sizes, which is, if you're reading labels, it's 15 grams is one serving of carbohydrate. And if you think of your hand as a good reference, you have 1, 2, 3, 4 fingers, and you can have 4 servings of carbohydrate. So 15 grams, which that's ends up being 60 grams, 15 grams is a serving, ends up being 60 grams of carbohydrate total. So you do between 45 and 60. You could say between 3 and 4 fingers. You've got a thumb. The size of your thumb end digit is like about a amount of fat that you should use. And then your palm usually represents 3 to 4 ounces of meat, and that would be your meat control portion. And I didn't talk about vegetables because vegetables are pretty much free. You can eat as much vegetables, in my opinion, as you like. Peas and corn are part of the carbohydrate group, and so are fruits and milk. So that's a little bit different, but if you go to my course on Udemy, go to gestationaldiabetesinfo.com/Udemy, U-D-E-M-Y, you'll get into a lot of detail about what different kinds of carbohydrates are and what they mean. But I want to encourage you to try to just make some good choices and stick with them after the baby's born. For eating small meals throughout the day is another topic I want to discuss. I've discussed this on a previous podcast, but I want to go into it again. Eating and pregnancy already go hand in hand. You might feel like it's not fair because you're pregnant and you don't just get to eat whatever you want. And what you want, you not getting to eat what you want and not, you need to eat healthier for your baby. The old adage of eating for two is true, but many women overeat when they're pregnant and gain more weight than they should. You really only need an additional 300 to 600 calories per day. And that's really only in the third trimester. So in my opinion, that eating for two is only applicable in the third trimester. And otherwise, you know, you're sticking to about an additional 200 to 300 calories a day. The more food you eat in one sitting is harder for going to be for your body to produce enough insulin to turn that sugar into energy. Not only is it what you eat, but the portion size or the amount that you eat is important as well. You should try and follow meal planning with three meals and three snacks throughout the day if you can. If you can't and you don't feel like it, try for three meals and one snack. Since you'll be eating smaller meals, you're going to need to eat more frequently to keep your energy high. The best way to do this is to plan on eating six smaller meals throughout the day, and you're going to feel like you're eating all day long. You'll keep a steady stream of nourishment going into your body. And if you eat at the same time each day, it'll make it easier for your body to regulate the insulin in production and use. A schedule that works for many women is to eat a small breakfast and then continue to eat approximately every 2 to 3 hours. This includes a mid-morning snack, lunch, an afternoon snack, dinner, and a bedtime snack. If you're still finding you're hungry in between meals or finding ketones when you test your urine, consult with your doctor or dietitian. I would recommend the dietitian. They are sure to have suggestions to help you make changes that'll work better for you, such as eating more protein at meals or filling up on more vegetables, something that can be eaten pretty much any time, extra vegetables if you need to feel full. Even though they're called meals, you're probably going to find out that it feels more like a snack when you eat your meals. That's about the right size, and you should find when you check your blood sugars that you're successful at controlling them. So I want to encourage you to do what you need to do to control your blood sugars. I want to be encouraging to you that I'm glad you're trying to control your blood sugars and manage your gestational diabetes. If you have questions, I want to encourage you to email me at admin@sugarmamaradio, and I will put them on the podcast, sugarmamaradio.com. And I also want to say that I have appreciated the chance to talk to you and get you to listen to me. And I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Thanks, and have a great day, and congratulations.